From morning.
Great to wake up to in the morning.
To evening.
Working late at the office.
Thanks for making us your number one VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Lucien, my radio partner, also Bruce Carter, our friend and correspondent from over the border in Connecticut, and also our new friend Jim Whitcomb of HaitiED.org, HaitiED.org. So let's pursue our questioning, Bruce.
Well, we have some thoughts here. It's thinking about the internet, and you're down there on the southern coast of the poorest country in the hemisphere. What's the situation? Do they have any internet? Do they have any kind of communication like that?
Yeah, well, Bruce, they do have internet when they have electricity.
Ah.
And by the way, schools in this area have contributed computers, which we've taken down there on periodic trips. That we're teaching them computer skills. I think that's exactly where you're going, is that we can get enormous leverage by going above and beyond what they're learning in schools through additional learning opportunities over the internet and connecting with their student peers elsewhere in the world. These kids are incredibly curious and friendly, very eager to meet and talk to Americans, and the internet's a way to do that. Now, with regard to the electricity, which is unavailable for most of the day, we've given both of our program partners solar panels, thanks to the donations of our supporters, that enable them to give these kids sustained computer training classes.
That's pretty cool. So here's my thought. How about we have some of the students up here, maybe the Haitian students, the kids of the Haitians up here that starting their businesses, are working hard, have the kids in the schools here connect to the kids down there through the internet. And in the old days when we used the U.S. mail, that was a pen pal. I don't know what kind of pal we should call it here, but how about this little interaction between the New Rochelle school kids, the Fairfield school kids, Bridgeport school kids, everywhere else we have a Haitian community, and start building relationships between the kids and bring them. You know, kids here think they're poor. They have no idea. My watch is 5 years old, man. I got to get another watch. No, it's a little different down there. But I think this would be a great learning experience and get kids out of their little world that I was in when I was a kid.
Exactly. I mean, I think there'd be a lot of learning on both ends. Certainly, the Haitian counterparts down there have got an enormous interest in American life and culture. Some positive internet relationships, educational ones, could be enormously mind-expanding for them.
I think
because you have to remember, I mean, so many of these kids, for example, live in the jungle, and they walk an hour or more each way to school. It's almost like an Abraham Lincoln school story.
Wow.
They have very little picture of the outside world, and a very thoughtful program like the one you suggested, that's very carefully managed so no bad actors get involved with it, could be very good both for the Haitian kids and for our American kids who are taking responsibility and interacting with them.
Yeah, I think that has a lot of potential. A lot of explosive growth on both sides, because when I was growing up, I didn't understand what was going on in the world, you know, and I said, I can work with you.
No doubt. Custom made for New Rochelle. You know, New Rochelle has a very strong Franco-American history, where our high school team and many private teams nicknamed the Huguenots, those early French religious refugees, and there is a strong vein of French culture in New Rochelle, though it's not always obvious certainly another angle to appeal to our local student population. I was going to ask you, cell phone technology, I'm sure they have phones down there, cell phones. Is that an area that needs help, or has it been exploited, or what's the availability there?
They do have phones. They're not very advanced smartphones, typically, but they do communicate quite a bit with them, and increasingly can do financial transactions with them. By the way, I might mention, with regard to financial transactions, there's an incredible amount of street crime and so forth. So just carrying money and transacting through traditional channels is quite a challenge.
Yeah, that sounds like that might creep me out a little bit. But you don't go to the teller machine, the little, you know, take out your $100 and walk down the street, huh?
No, we have to make sure that the funds that we send down, that our partners can receive them in very secure locations.
Wire services. Right, through wire services. That's the way I do.
Yeah, no, we do wire. Yeah.
One thing I got to ask you, Jim, is that you mentioned before, you were talking about
yes, please,
solar energy or whatever. What about getting companies, that solar energy companies, that donate panels into the schools in these rural areas that are in these back roads? Because there is a lot of hurricanes down there. There's a lot of bad storms. And any electricity lines are going to come down as they are now because the tropics are very bad with weather. So what about having somebody donate these panels to put up on these schools so the kids have an education? They can, what Steve said before, have internet service where they can learn right through the internet service too. That's a way to do it that's cost effective.
Yeah, you know, I think that's got to be the solution for exactly what you said. Just the fragility of the infrastructure. I think a challenge would be making that happen with the existing operators of the grids and utilities could be quite a barrier. But I think that's got to be an end solution.
Yes.
Well, one of the ways to handle that, I think one way to handle it would be have the kids up here raise some money, you know, the traditional lemonade stand, or maybe they sell some kind of a cookie, or they got something going on, but let the kids work and raise some money for that type of thing. And rather than just say, hey, corporation, make another donation. Well, how many people ask for donations from corporations? But I think that would be part of the educational process with our kids up here, to learn more and more, like, what do you mean they don't have electricity? What do you mean they don't have books, you know? And well, how much was it per student for tuition?
It's about $135 a year.
Wow.
That's not a typo.
That's remarkable.
Well, I'm just
that's
thinking.
That's not a credit hour. That's an education.
But that's something a Boy Scout group can handle on a weekend.
Yeah. Easily.
You
oh,
know?
Right. Great
I mean,
idea.
And then who's their student? Well, it's, you know, Jacques. Well, tell us about Chuck, and it seems to me that's the way to go. To ask a corporation to do more right now, I'm not sure. But I think the kids' energy, if we can get the energy of the children to go forward, we can pick off, here's a student, here's another student, here's a group that did this student, another group that did that student, and then say, okay, well, now let's figure out and get a panel so they can talk to us. And do a grassroots thing.
For sure.
You know?
And especially talking in terms that kids can understand, you know, dollar amounts or what's the standard there? Frank? Is there a Haitian franc or what's the currency?
Yeah. It's a Haitian currency.
Okay. So anyway, raise it here in, you know, small terms that kids can understand in larger terms and convert it into something meaningful in Haiti. Great project, Bruce and Lou and Jim. I think for us, we hope to continue and impart to our listening area. The phone number, 914-636-0110. We'd love to hear what you think about this great organization. I just remember the website, HaitiEd.org. We'll get the complete identifier in a minute. But please, by all means, call in with your ideas, thoughts, comments.
And TheSteveMayoShow.com.
TheSteveMayoShow.com. And, of course, listen to the Lou and Steve Show at WVOX.com worldwide. If you're not in our listening area, but we welcome your calls on any subject we've touched on tonight. Lou? Jim?
Well, I'm thinking, what do these folks, do they live in a jungle? What type of environment do they live in? You know, I picture it as some sort of a jungle, but what are they dealing with? Are they snakes or, you know, what the heck is going on down there? What are the kids facing that they don't face up here?
Yeah, we have a downtown Jacques Mel team, and those are for kids that live in the town of Jacques Mel. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back to that in a moment. And then outside Jacques Mel, called Kai Jacques Mel, is a very rural area surrounded by mountainous jungle. And in the latter, many of the kids live up in these hills. They live in hovels, the most minimal of shelter. Their parents are typically illiterate. Their food is intermittent and not nutritious. And they will walk, some of them, hours each day to and from to school and to our after-school program. In the town, as I mentioned, Jacques Mel is attractive in many ways, but these kids are living in deprived circumstances in the town.
Very interesting to know. Jim Whitcomb, visiting us from Connecticut, but talking about Haiti, poverty, educational opportunities, tomorrow's leaders, the youth of Haiti, and what maybe American youth can be doing. This is the Stephen Liu Show with you Mondays at 5:30 here at WVOX. Stay tuned for our last segment, which will be right after this. Boys.
WVOX. This is WVOX at 1460 for Rye, Greenberg, and Co-op City.
1460 WVOX.
Partner Lou Felicione, next to him, Jim Whitcomb from Connecticut, and a great new organization. We'll have fully ID'd. Maybe Jim can do it right after my intro. And of course, our good friend Bruce Carter, right next to me, who made this whole evening possible. But Jim, if you could start off, and then we'll take a call. Just your identifiers, phone number, website, please.
Sure. Our organization is a 501c3 based in Fairfield called Haitian Educational Initiatives. And you can find our website at HaitiEd, that's one word, HaitiED.org. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn looking for Haitian Educational Initiatives. Phone number 917-881-2707. And we'd love to have you take a look and see what we're up to.
Great. Great to hear. Thank you. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, Vince.
Hey, how you doing there, guys?
Hey, Vince, I'm glad you're listening. Tell me what's running through your mind.
Well, I was listening to the discussion about what you're trying to achieve in Haiti. I don't recall exactly how long your organization has been down there. Maybe I missed that part
Jim?
Of it.
Right. The organization began shortly after the earthquake in 2010, and the 501c3 established in 2012.
Okay. Now, I know there's been a lot of organizations that try to do good work and then stuff like that. Did you ever bump into anything involving either Habitat for Humanity or the Clinton groups or any? Do you try to work with any of these other groups? How does that play out down there?
Right. Well, our model's been somewhat different in that we work with local partners down in Haiti. Now, we certainly did come across those larger organizations, and they've done very good work all over the world. But very often they move along to the next big crisis. I don't want to be unfair to the many who stay and stick with it, many of them. I think a key thing, though, is that our model enables us to stick there even when we have enormous instability in Haiti. For example, Doctors Beyond Borders just announced that it's closing hospitals around Haiti because they cannot keep their staff safe. We have our local partners who keep the wheels turning regardless of the incident.
I was going to ask you about the safety question, but just one last comment. As a almost lifetime educator, having worked in the schools in New York City, I agree with your assessment of these kids from Haiti. The kids that I see that come from Haiti, they come with a sense of desire to want to succeed and a sense of appreciation for the opportunity to actually be educated. Because, as you say, there is no real public school system down in Haiti. And, you know, I really tip my hat to what you're trying to achieve down there.
No, thank you. We find their enthusiasm and desire to learn just really inspiring. It makes it easier.
Vince, thanks for your question, your comments from the field.
Thank you, Vince.
Bye. Thanks, Vince. I don't see any other callers. We'll be ready for them if they come in. Bruce?
Well, you may do a few comments that just got to let me know. Because how do you communicate what you're doing? And I think we're looking at a concept of fundraising that's local. You got a couple hundred people down on their end. But this is a local to local. We're not getting some global organization involved. We're not looking for that type of thing at this rate. But I think maybe what you call it is local to local.
For sure.
Yeah, I think very much so. It's really finding the pockets of genuine interest that really is going to be on a human-to-human level.
Yeah, I think when you find that, you have people who will donate not just once. If I remember, now you're shaking my tree here, that most people donate to a charity once and then go on. And that's great. It's great to have that money. But you really want somebody who says, hey, I'm going to do $20 a month or $30 a month and something. And you get a half a dozen of those people and you got two educations, you know, just like that. But that seems to me, and I think that heartstring connection to the Haitian community and to those of us interested in the Haitian community, that's going to develop and have that
right
cash flow coming where a kid can make it through the 12 years.
Very clearly. And also we have such a choice of education around here between parochial, private, prep, yeshiva, and public, of course, and so many public educational systems in our listening area. Great opportunity here. Wouldn't it be poetic, a great short story or more, to find a kid enriched by one contribution from a local kid here to find his way or her way here at some future time? And thank the people involved. Great, great dream, and I don't think it's impossible.
I agree with that, Steve. I totally agree with that. That's another channel I think you got to do, you know.
Great, great, great opening we've made here. Again, Jim, if you don't mind, give your affiliation in case listeners want to contact you, contribute, or talk.
Great. Thanks, Steve. My name again is Jim Whitcomb. I'm president of Haitian Educational Initiatives based here in the U.S., 501c3. If you are inspired to make a donation, I hope you will. You can find on our website an easy donation button that apply your finger to it, and we'd be very grateful.
Great. And that, the website again is?
HaitiEd.org.
Great. Well, Jim Whitcomb, thank you for visiting. Bruce, thank you for arranging.
Always good to be here on the WVOX, a Whitney Global Radio Media Station.
Absolutely.
And before we go, congratulate you, Jim. Thank you for doing something
great
like
initiative.
This. Great person to do something like that. Very good.
And
Bruce,
sister.
Thank you for putting a guest for us tonight.
I'll tell you, we got more coming.
Very proud to be part of it. This has been the Lou and Steve Show. Steve Mayo, Lou Feliciano here at WVRX. We'll speak to you and hopefully hear from you next week at 5:30. Good night. 1460 double.